Christianity also has striking resemblances with Buddhism on some important points. Both Buddhism and Christianity begin in the experience of a specific historical person. In the case of Buddhism, Prince Siddhartha. In the case of Christianity, Jesus. And the experience of this individual historical person makes that person subsequently the symbol, the Buddha, the Christ, around which adherents organize. Both traditions as well are aggressively competitive with other traditions. So Buddhism, beginning in India, tried to convert others and entered into competition with Hinduism, with native Chinese religions, with Taoism, and brought people into to the organization of Buddhism through conversion. In a very strikingly similar fashion, Christianity did with Jews and Greco-Roman culture. More than any other world religion, however, Christianity is marked by paradox, both in its fundamental claims and in its historical manifestations. The Christ in Christianity is remarkable for the disparity between the historical life of Jesus and the claims that Christians make about Jesus. Here we have a figure who worked for at most 1 to 3 years in public, gathered a very small band of followers, and was executed under Roman authority as a criminal. Not a successful career. And yet, because of convictions concerning what happened to Jesus after his death, that is, his resurrection, Christians claim of him that he is cosmic Lord, that he shares the very life of God, and indeed that Jesus is God incarnate, God enfleshed in humanity. This gap between who Jesus was historically and what Christians claim of him, and Christianity's capacity to make that claim plausible to millions of people throughout the world, is a deep puzzle to those who do not share in that experience and conviction. But Christianity is paradoxical in another sense, that it has constantly experienced the tension between the ideals that it proclaims and the actual way in which it is lived. There is no religious tradition, for example, that gives more value to the ideal of unity. And yet, Christianity has experienced dissension and division from within, from the beginning. And now, as I have mentioned, it exists in countless forms, which are often rivals and competing. There is no tradition for which peace is a more important ideal. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And yet Christianity, all too often, has aligned itself with warlike tendencies and has itself caused violence to be done. Christianity likes to think of itself as Catholic, that is, as universal and embracing all humanity. And yet, in its actually lived manifestations, Christianity has far too often been sectarian, narrow, and parochial. Christianity thinks of itself as having the ideal of holiness, that is, of representing in the world something of God's own life. And yet, in actual fact, Christianity has often been proven to be corrupt, both in power and in possessions. Now, as we turn to this introduction to Christianity, I want to introduce certain basic terms that are used of all religions, but have a specific meaning in the study of Christianity. The first is the term founder. We use the term founder for the one who in the tradition either is the channel or the agent of revelation, and is often the organizer of the way of life. Now, as we shall see in our very next presentation, Jesus is a very problematic founder of Christianity. The second term is community. This is the body of people whose life is organized around the experiences or the revelation of the founder. In Christianity, the term used for this community is church. The word church, in Greek ekklesia, means, first of all, not a building, but a gathering. It is an assembly of people. So the community is the group that is gathered by this experience. The third term is scripture, or sacred texts. Now, not all religious traditions have sacred texts. Some are quite content without having any scriptures. Some have scriptures, but they're quite diffuse. Nobody knows the beginning or end of Taoist scriptures. They go on forever.